Okay, so you know, your Rebbe and I are good friends, Hashem. We love each other. So I want to continue with what your Rebbe was just talking about. Either to go before or to go after, but it's the same subject. And this is something that I was thinking about. I was mamish on fire. There was a tzaddik of a yid that I spoke to here last week. I was going through different inyanim. And he expressed to me how he had dreams. He had dreams to be a Rebbe, to be somebody who would be a Baal Hashpor and Klal Yisrael. But the feelings that he had was that because of the thing that had most recently happened to him, that he was unfortunately involved in something that wasn't appropriate, that because of that, he's disqualified. He's disqualified. He cannot continue on with that. He has to think of a different mahalach in his life. And I was very broken by that conversation. And he doesn't have payas, but I tried to grab him by his payas. And this, what I'm going to talk to you about, is the outcome of that conversation. When I got home Tuesday night, it's hard for me to write. I have some inyanim with my hand this year. And I sat down. It took me to write some machshavos that I had around 3 hours to try to write this. And I want to share with you some of these machshavos, a little bit just to think about. It needs much more time, but so to begin. So on the words, Noach is tzaddik. The Medrash tells us that wherever we find with a person that use of the word Haya, he was, it means mitchilasai vaad saifai Haya. It means from beginning till end. So when the Pasuk says Is Sadik Tamim Haya Bedairaisav, it was just now in the Beis Medrash, there was a sweet bacha that came over to me. He said that he heard a talk there, somebody, a rabbi that was bashing Noach very badly. Is there anywhere he could look for sources in the Svarim where there's something nice about Noach? So I said, you could look in the Sefer, it's called Sefer Bereishis, and it says, Noach is Tzaddik, Tamim Haya B'Dayreis. It's nice, it's a good Sefer, it's one of the Svarim HaKadosh, no, the Chumash. And it says Zayin Achameinu. It says Noach is Tzaddik Haya. It's pretty good. So Chazal tells us in the Medrash that Haya means mitchilos of ad soif, from the beginning to the end. So on this drasha of that, the word when it says by somebody Haya means mitchilos of ad soif, Tzaddik mitchilos of ad soif. So on this, Chazal asks, it says by Avram Avinu when Yecheskel, it says, Echad Haya Avram. Echad Haya Avram, right? And it's clear that Avram Avinu was not mitchilosai a tzaddik. It was not mitchiloso. He was not mitchiloso. Reish Lakish says that ben shalosh shanim hikra Avram is by right. Reish Lakish holds that he was only three. He was 3 years old. That's very young, but he wasn't mitchilasai vatsaif. He was 3 years old when he began. And Rabbi Yochanan says either 48, 40, they're different. But he was already a fully mature person when he began. So Chazal asks, Umani Mekayim Haya. So what does it mean by Avraham when it says Echad Haya Avraham? What does it mean Haya? If it's not mitchilasai, it was only when he was 3 or 48. So what does it mean, Echad Haya Avram? So the Medrash says, Shahayim Masukan Lahadrech Esa'olam Kulay B'tshuva. That by Avram Avinu means that Haya Masukan, that he was established, he was created and prepared to direct and to guide the entire world to find Hashem, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayimisukan Lahadrich Es Ha'olam Kulay B'Tshuva. So what comes out, according to this Medrash, what comes out is that in terms of tzidkus, there's a nekud of adifus of Noach, that tzadik tamim hoya b'day reisav, that Noach was a tzadik mitchilosav ad sofer, through and through, from the beginning. Masha'enikein Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu, therefore Chazal had to shift and to understand and to learn that Hoya by Avraham Avinu means Hoya Mesukim Lahadrich Hasan Kol B'Tshuva. So there's an adifus, there's a certain madrega of Noach Tzidkis that was even higher than Avraham Avinu. It's mitchilos avat soifer. We'll come back to the Medrash in a few minutes. With the Gemara in Yuman Chav Beis Amud Beis, speaking about the failure of Shaul HaMelech and his Malchus. The failure of Shaul HaMelech and the Malchus of Shaul HaMelech. And the Gemara there says, "V'neimar lo nimshucha malchus beishol." V'neimar lo nimshucha malchus beishol. How come the malchus of beishol didn't have a hemshich? Family and so on didn't have a hemshich. V'nei shelo hoya b'shum doifi. Because he was too perfect. V'nei shelo hoya b'shum doifi. Because there wasn't anything that was wrong. There wasn't anything that was damaged or distorted. And that the Gemara goes on to say, because in order for a person to be a leader of a tzibur, to be a leader, unless there's a kupa shel shrotzim, it's a remarkable term. Some kind of a kupa, some container of shrotzim, of disgusting, slimy things, creatures. Shrotzim. That's tluy lo mi'acharev, that's hanging on him from behind him. In other words, he has a history, he has a background of tluyaba, of a kupa shal shrotzim tluy lo mi'acharev. That's the Gemara in Yuma. The Rabbi Elimelech at the end of Parshas Noso, there's a long piece in Noam Elimelech. And there the Rabbi Elimelech says that the tafkid of a manig, the job, the responsibility of a manig, of a leader, of a teacher, is to give hadracha to every single Jew. And because of that, just like Rabbi was talking about now, with Moshe Rabbeinu, the need of Moshe Rabbeinu of Lech Reid Menahar, and because of that, the Rabbi Elimelech says that the tzaddik, in order, the manhig, the tzaddik, in order to be able to give hadrocha, to help every Jew, and to be mischaber aleihem, and to have a chibur to Am Yisrael, he needs to understand what it is that they have been going through, what it is that they're suffering from, what the challenges and difficulties are. It's a long piece at the end of Nosa. You look there, you see what the Rebbe Melech talks about. So Shaul HaMelech, the Gemara is telling us, is that Shaul HaMelech was disqualified for the strangest reason. Because he was overqualified. What does that mean? It happens sometimes. Shaul HaMelech is called Bechir Hashem, the chosen of Hashem. He's described in Navi as Mishichmai V'Amala, Gavoya Mikol Ha'am, that he was a shoulder higher than the rest of the nation. Mishichmai V'Amala, Gavoya Mikol Ha'am. And when the Navi says Ben Shona Shaul B'Malkai, that Shaul was a king for a year, the Lashon there of Ben Shona Shaul B'Malkai, Rashi brings from Chazal, it's a strange Lashon, Ben Shona Shaul B'Malkai. Sounds like he was a year old. So Rashi brings from Chazal, Ki ben shana shloi toam tam chay. He was so innocent and pure, he never tasted sin. As an adult, he never tasted chay. So when it says in the Pasuk, Ben Shona Shol B'Malkai means that he had as a Malchus of Shol. He was such a Gibor internally over his darker side, that he was like a Ben Shana, like a child that's a year old. Shloitam Tam Chet, who never tasted Chet Sin. And the Gemara is telling us that because Shloihar by Shum Daifi, because he was such a person, Shloitam Tam Chet, Mishichma Vamala Bechir Hashem, because of those qualities, because of that near perfection of this person, Loi Nimshucha Malchusa. The Malchus did not have continuity because he wasn't Mesugal on his level. Again, not that we're understanding Shalom Melech, but according to what the Gemara is telling us, we can understand together with what the Nair Melech is talking about, he wasn't Mesugal to understand Nefesh HaChaytais. He wasn't able to understand the soul, the misery, the tzibrachenkeit of a person who's messed up his life. He wasn't able to understand that. And because of that, le nimshucha malchusa. Only David HaMelech, who had a kubishel shuatzim on his madrega, he had a box that he carried around in his life, a kubishel shuatzim of things that did not go the way he had hoped in his own personal inyan of kedusha on his madrega again. So David HaMelech is nimshucha malchusa. David's malchus is a malchus elamim. David's malchus is the malchus of Mashiach. And the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, Shehekim oyla shel tshuva. David HaMelech lifted up the entire world of tshuva. Gave every single Jew in the world hope. Every single Jew, no matter what shrotzim he's schlepping around in his life, no matter what disgusting creatures he has in his box of his past, David HaMelech says, I carry around a worse box than you. And because of that, David HaMelech is able to give hadracha to every single Jew in the world. And his malchus is a malchus elam. So now we can understand. Noach is tzaddik tamim hayah b'dayrei sov. So hayah, Chazal tell us about Noach, is tzaddik is mitchilasa v'ad seifar. And because of that, we can understand that Noach was able to be matzil himself and his family. He was able to rescue himself and his family. But he wasn't a Baal Hashpa. L'choladeis, he wasn't a Baal Hashpa. I'm not saying this, Chalila, to say something bad. But he wasn't a Baal Hashpa. He was not successful. Chazal, tell him, he wasn't successful in changing the generation. Tzadik mitchilas avad seifa. But he wasn't a Baal Hashpa. He wasn't able to be mashpia on the door. And it's not despite the fact that he was a tzaddik, he couldn't be a mashpia. You understand? It's because he was a tzaddik mitchilas avad soif. It's because, like Shaul, ein bay daifi, b'chir Hashem, mishichmu v'mala, that it's because of that, because he was a tzaddik mitchilas avad soif, he couldn't understand nefesh hachaytis. He couldn't understand imperfection. He couldn't understand a person who's not mitchilas avad soifa. He couldn't understand somebody who walks around in his life. Forget about the tevas noach. That in his own heart he has a tevas noach. That he's carrying around behemoths and chayis and inside of himself. And noach could not be mashpia because he couldn't understand such people on his madrega. He couldn't enter into the depths of who they are. And therefore, when Chazal explained the pasuk as Elokim is Halach Noach, Rashi brings down Shayetzarach Sadla Tomcha, that he needed, that Noach needed Hashem's Baruch to hold him up. The Svarim explained that Noach himself received a matnas shemayim, that Hashem Yisbarach preserved the world and he gave help to Noach to remain untouched and pure by the filth of that time. It's not as if Noach had gone through all of the mashberim, all of the crises and sorrows of this world, and he understood the pain of the world, and as a result of that, he became determined to repair the world. Hashem Yisbarach held on to Noach to preserve that piece of mitchilos avad soifai of tzadik haya. But he couldn't save anybody other than himself and his family because of that. Avraham Avinu all of a shalom. So Avraham Avinu is Vayikra, says in Pasuk, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Chazal Se Al Tikra Vayikra L'Vayakri. Melamed Shehikri Avraham L'Shmoy Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Fek Kol Oyve V'Shav. Melamed Vayakri, Vayikra is Vayakri, that Avraham Avinu brought every single person in the world who came within his Dalet Amos. He brought every single person to be able to say Asha, to be able to speak about the Bari Olam, to be able to believe in HaKadosh Baruch. Befer kol oiva v'shav, that's Gemara and Saita, that view. Melamed shehikri Avraham l'shmai HaKadosh Baruch befer kol oiva v'shav. And v'sa nefesh esha osu b'char, Rashi brings down, shechnisim tachas kanfi eshchim. Whoever met him, he made a whole revolution in the world. They didn't know what to do with him. Chazal say that the Malchus had to lock him up. He was the biggest Baal Hashpah that there ever was Avraham Avinu. Sheikh Nisan Tachas Kanfi Ashkina. And therefore, it's Kilo, Rashi says, Ma'alam Kilo Asom, it's an Efshah Sheh Osu B'charan. That's the side of Shahayim Mesukan that we learned before. Shahayim Mesukan Lahadri Cha'olam Kulai B'chu. Davka Avraham Avinu did not have Esalakim as Halach. He did not have Hashem Yisbarach holding him up through his life. And he was not a tzaddik tomim mitchilosai v'ad soifai. He was mischazik me'atzmai. He was a merdik abal b'chir, who was mischazik me'atzmai. Who davka because he was mesukan l'hadrik l'skola ilum b'tshuva, that because Hashem Yisbarach wanted him to be the one that would bring the world out of the filth, that Davki he had to grow up in the filth, and therefore he saw every avodah zarah in the world, and he had to wade and make his way through so much slime and dirt, and this is the inyan of David Hamelach, of Malchus Mashiach, of Alam de Paishim Derkecha V'chatoyim Eilecha Yashuv. Alam the Paishim Dakecha, I exist in order to teach, David HaMelech said, in order to teach sinners your ways. V'chatoyim Eilecha Yashuv. So now we could understand that in Pnimis it's not really a machlokes, that even though the Lashon of Hoya we see is mitchilos v'ad soifai, it's from the beginning to the end. So the Medrash's question was, it says, Echad Hoya Avram. Echad Hoya Avram. And Avram Avinu was 48 years old. Echad Hoya Avram. So where's the Ritzifus? Where's the Ritzifus of Tzidkus by Avram Avinu? That's the question of the Medrash. What do you mean, Hoya Avram? There's no Ritzifus. He got started when he was 48. So how could you say Mitchilasa? From the beginning was a tzaddik. So what does it mean, Echad Hoya Avram? So the Medrash says, Hoya is lahadrich hayom mesukan, lahadrich salam kulu b'tshu. But the truth is, that really, it's not a machlekes. What the Medrash is saying is that because he was mesukan lahachzer salam kulu b'tshuva, that because his tafkid was to be able to descend into the world, and to bring every single person back, kol oyve v'shav, to bring every single person back to the Bnei Shalom, that means that even the years, whether they were the first few years of his life, or they were until he was 48, but those years of searching, of asking, of wondering, everything that he went through himself, even the dirt that he himself was in and that he was part of in the early part of his life, all of that is mitztaref. Every single thing is mitztaref to that mitzias of Avraham Avinu, mitchilosef atzayf, from his beginning to the end of his life. Let me explain. Look in the Rambam. It's a famous Rambam. I'm assuming that you're all familiar with it, but I want you to just have it in front of your eyes. It's in the first paragraph of the Zohar, where the Rambam traces Emunas Yisrael. Where does the Emunas HaYichud come from? And the beginning of the world, till finally Avraham Avinu came, and that's in Halacha Gimel. So the Rambam is describing the whole Hishtalsos. What happened? How could it be that from the time of the Bria of creation, how did the world get lost in Avodah Zarah? How did the world forget Hashem is Baruch? That's Halacha Aleph and Beis. And it goes through the whole history of how that happened. And one sentence before Gimel, the Rambam is saying, "Valderach zeh hayah ha'olam is galgal v'hoylech," that until that time, "Valderach zeh," the world was rolling, meaning losing its way, further and further away. "Ad shenoylad amuda shel olam shehu Avraham Avinu." Ad shenoylad amuda shel olam. Ad shenoylad, till he was born. Halacha Gimel, kemish enigmal eisen zeh. Once he was weaned from nursing, he was still a child, whatever. According to this opinion of Reish Lakish, he was 3 years old. It's an extraordinary term. What does the word l'shotet mean? Literally, what does it mean? L'shotet means to sail, to fly. Hischil l'shotet b'daitai, v'hu katan. He was thinking, he was a child. Day and night he was thinking. How could it be the world just goes like this and no one is running the world? Of course, these are all, it looks here like it's simple, but you know, he wrote all kinds of svarim, philosophy, and he was thinking about these things very deeply. It can't be turned. The world can't be creating itself, turning itself. He didn't have any rabbi. He was immersed in the world of Ur Kasdim. He was living in Ur Kasdim. He was going to the shows and to the clubs in Ur Kasdim. He was reading the novels and the magazines that were on sale in Ur Kasdim. That's what he was doing. He was watching the urkazdim.com, whatever that was. That's where he was. That's his life. Ela mushka urkazdim. Mushka means to be completely shakur, immersed. Ela mushka urkazdim ben oivdev adazar has tipsha. V'avvim of chalam oivdim of adazar and so on. Oivdimon v'hu oiv v'hu haya oivdimon. And he was also Mushka, Ivri Mayim. He was doing everything that the Olam was doing over there. But the Libay Meshaitet, but his heart was sailing and searching. His heart was sailing and searching. The Libay Meshaitet, the Maven Acha Hissig Derech Emes, the finally Hissig Derech Emes, the Haven, Kavat Sedig Midaito, Hanachain, Midaito, Hanachain. Nobody was, Esalakim, Esalak, nobody was showing him anything. So Midaito, Hanachain. And so on. And he goes on. We understand what happened. Until finally, when he was 40, by the time he was 40, Hikar Avram is Boira. So the Rambam is saying, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, "Ben Shalosh Shanim Hikras Bayer." Right? He was 3. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ben Arboin," or Arboin Mishmaina, 40, 48. So the Rambam says that when Rabbi Yochanan, when Reish Lakish says Hikras Bayer, it doesn't mean that he understood yet at that point. It means that he began his journey of searching to understand, to try to understand that there's a Bore. At 3 years old, he was still, at that time, 3, 4, 5, till he was 48, he was Shakua in the world of Ur Kasdan. Hikir is Bore. He was Makia, that something is not right, and he became unsettled. He became a person who was sailing and searching for the truth from the time that he was a child. But his life that he was living was a life like the other people that were there. Look at the Hagos Maimonides. Aleph, I circled. Do you see right underneath the Rambam? Hine nucha lekayem gam divrei Reish Lakish. So this was not my idea to make shalom between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan here. The Hagos Maimonides says, Hine nucha lekayem gam divrei Reish Lakish, the Omer ben Sholo Shodom Hoya, ki lekayem in Bahagor, Reish Lakish is counting from the time Shehischil, that Avraham Avinu began to be unsettled in that world. He was still doing it. He was still living that way, but he felt there's something terribly wrong with what's happening here, and he began l'shoite b'machshavtoi v'lachshoi b'boyrei k'dei l'kayim drashas de'ekev. Look at the Ravid. The Ravid, you see over there? On the side, the Ravid says, Ben Aboyim Shon Hikar Avram is Boyer, Omar Avram, Yesh Agoda Ben Shol Shonim. So he says, the Rambam is Ben Aboyim, and he says, Yesh Agoda Ben Shol Shonim. So the Rambam brought Shol Shonim earlier. Shnema Ekev Asher Shoma Avram Bekoili, Minyan Ekev. In other words, he lived to be 175. See, minus 3 is Ekev, right? Ayin Kuv Beis is 172. So the years Shoma Bekoili is 172. Ekev Shoma Avram Bekoili. So we take away the 3. This is what Hagos Maimonides says, that the 3 and the 40, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, are not really arguing. Reish Lakish is talking about Mitchilosai. Reish Lakish is talking about how, from the time that he was a child, how he was shoited b'machshavtai. That he began when he was a child. While he was still in that world of Avodah Zarah, of Ur Kasdan, he was already Meshoyte B'Daitai. Until finally, when he was 40 years old, Hikar Es Bore, that's Rabbi Yochanan says, and Reish Lakish doesn't have to argue, he's not necessarily arguing with that. Hikar Es Bore means finally, he got out of the sewer. Hikar Es Bore, he got out. It means that there were all of those years of chipus, of searching, of asking, of wondering, while still drifting back to the clubs on the main drag over there in Ur Kasdan. Kesef Mishnah brings us also. So it comes out that Shoma Avram Bekoili. Listen, according to the way that we're learning, like this Hagos Maimonides in the Kesef Mishnah, it comes out that those years are of his life between 3 and 40 or 48, when he was still Shakua in Ur Kasdan. The only difference between him, you wouldn't notice the difference between him and another Kasdi. When you looked at Avram, you thought he was just another Ovid of a Nazar. You wouldn't know. He was hanging out with the rest of the chevra there. And he was doing the things that they were doing. It was Shakua. And here, Ovid Avodazar Imohem, the Rambam says. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know that this person is not like them. He's going to the same places, wearing the same clothing. Everything's the same. But B'daitai, B'machshavtai, is M'shoite. Chipus, I got to get out of here. There's something wrong. I want to get out of this. This is sick. I got to get out. And it took him a long time. That those are years that are in the cheshbon of Shoma Avram Bekoili. That he was listening to my voice. Even though he was still find himself disgusted at the end of the day having gone to the club at night. It's still the years of Shoma Avram Bekoili. And that this period of time was all the Seder of HaKadosh Baruch who created this person with the Koyach LaHadrich his Kol HaOlam Kulu B'Tshuva. Therefore, we understand that Mitchilos of Ad Seifis, there's a Tziruf in his life. That even from the beginning, from when he was a child, Ekev Shoma Avram B'Koyli, the first 3 years was a baby. But then, from the time that he was nursed, and he began to think of changing, he began to wonder, what can I do? How do I get out? That is a time that's called Hoya. And Hoya, Chazal say, Aklal means Mitchilos Avad Soifai. That means there's a tzirif, that even those years that he was still, not even Avad Azar, still doing all the stuff of Bur Kazdim, but he was trying to find his way out. He had good days, he had bad days, he had Aliyas, he had Yeridas. He had clean days, he had dirty days. It's all a tziruf of what? Sadik mitchilos avad seifer. Because hoya means mitchilos avad seifer. Elamai. There were some tzaddikim who were sent into this world, not like Noah, but they were sent like Avram. They were sent like Avram to be mashpia on other people, to change the world, to be able to understand what the world is going through, the pain and the misery and the suffering of a Jew who's carrying around, like Rabbi Nachman says in Tinyana Zayin, that Ein Masa Kovid, there's no heavier burden that a Jew carries than his Averis. Mishi Yodeo Makir, only a person, someone who understands the Adin is the Edelkeit of a Nisham of a Jew, knows how much that person is suffering by carrying around the Kupishal Shrotz in his whole life. But carrying around the shrotzim of his life. That's what Rabbi Nachman talks about. And for that you need a roifei mumcha. You need a great, great specialist and expert. Someone who understands the nefesh achaitis. The nefesh achaitis. Somebody from the shul was just showing me that someone says talk about this. There's just a little interruption, but it's not an interruption. Some of the shul was showing me that there's a film that's coming out, or it came out, about some people that were raised as chassidim, and unfortunately they had very bad experiences. And this is now a very popular thing to do, to try to find what's wrong and what's bad in our world. And there are things that are wrong and need to be repaired. There's no question about it. But there's so much more that's beautiful. And of course, that's not interesting for the film. So there's this film there's this film about these three that went away. Hashem Yisbach should bring them back. These three that went away. And as part of the film, and I didn't see the film, but there's a whole, already, it might be, it didn't come out, I don't know if it did. It came out already. You know what I'm talking about. So there's already a Shakta Bataya, I guess, online. Apparently, there's a scene. Did any of you see it? The film yet? You saw it. So there's a scene, so you could fill this in. There was a scene. Every Jew's going to watch this somehow. I mean, this. No, we just. It's like you go to a scare and you start pulling it off, you know. But it's important because we do have to face the things that are wrong and we have to work on it. There's a Kupash Shoshwat, so we need to get to it. We can't make believe it's not there. But apparently there's a scene where there's chevra that are all mechalli Shabbos, former chassidim, that get together on a Shabbos, for a Shabbos meal, I guess, and they're singing Haimish Zmiris. They're singing Zmiris. So the person from Shul told me that there's all kinds of blogging about this, and there's somebody that came out very, very strong. I don't know if on the internet it was told him, I'm not sure. Somebody came out very strong. That what a chutzpah, your mechal Shabbos, your mechal Shabbos, you mechal Shem Hashem, you humiliated your parents by going away from the chassidus, right, and going away from mitzvahs. These are all going away from mitzvahs. And then you're being filmed on Shabbos to have this strange meal where you're sitting around former chassidim guys and girls like holding each other singing Baruch Kalal. And this person's going out of his kalim. That's what these people are, not that it was filmed, that the filmmakers, we understand that that's Parnassah. I'm talking about that that these chassidim are doing such things, these former chassidim. Do you agree with this blog or do you disagree with this blog? What do you think about these chassidim that sing smears with their girlfriends? Because when they go off, they go like crazy off. Because they don't know really how to go off, so they have to do all kinds of weird things that even if you go off, you don't have to go so crazy. So they got earrings and nose rings and tattoos, whatever they can, any aveira they can come up. They're sitting around saying Budach Kal El, you know. And this one sang a Vart, and well, I don't know what happened, I didn't see them. But the way it was described, it sounds like it was a Shabbos Tish. I hear that and I cry from his Rakshasa. What I mean is, what a Yid. These people don't understand Nefesh HaChaites. You grew up in some Beis Medrash someplace. You know, there are now Rishi Yeshivas, they're giving Eitzes to Jews. What do they know about a Jew Bechlal? Do they understand what a Jew goes through? It used to be there with Tzaddikim, the Klausenberger Rebbe, the Rimditzer, Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov. I'm not talking about Chassidim, it's not Sfaradim. They went through the world. They knew what a Kupa Shel Shvatzim looked like, you understand? Rav Moshe Feinstein was a Rav in Europe at the time when the war was done. You know what he had to deal with? Do you know what the Klausenberger, do you know what he dealt with? Did you ever read the biography, Nor the Moon by Night of the Baba Rebbe? It's not a full biography, it's what he went through during the war. Can you believe that the Baba Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Lubavitcher, that sweet tzaddik that looked like he was a malach, right? Do you know that during the war he had to disguise as a Nazi? He was smuggling things inside and outside of the ghetto. Do you have any idea what he lived through? What he went through? Do you know he saw the Malach HaMavis? He saw all the filth, all the ugliness of the world. So he understands the nefesh, the soul of a person who's imperfect. You get some Rosh Hashiva that grew up in America and he was for 40 years in Beis Medrash. He's a big lamb and kol hakavod. Tremendous on Chacham Mishra, writes Sfarim and so on and gives Shiurim, that's gewaldig. But he's telling this couple, because they're fighting about something, because this guy, the wife found it on the husband's cell phone that he's talking to a girl or something, lo aleinu, which happens very often. And this Rosh Hashiva is giving aitzes? At the same time that he says, if you own such a phone, you're a Rosh Marusha, and you're going to Gehenim. He's giving eitzes about the guy that's doing stuff on the phone. What does he understand about a Kupa Shel Shvatz? Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't speak a word of English. Maybe he spoke a few words. Very, very little English. But he understood a mensch. Was is a mensch? He understood the complexity of life. The Klausenberg was a klieger mensch, a smart person. He could talk about anything with him. There's a guy that I met a few years ago in the airport. We were waiting for the plane to go to Etzel, and he was schmoozing with me. It's a guy from Flatbush, and he says his father was a makurv to the Klausenberger. They were not Hasidim, but he was a makurv to the Klausenberger. And he said that when he was in high school, he wasn't learning. This guy told me that he was like my age. When he was in high school, he wasn't learning. And his father wanted to take him to the Klausenberger Rebbe. So he didn't want to go to the Rebbe, but his father was all upset, so he went to the Klausenberger Rebbe. And the Rebbe told, he said, the Rebbe told my father to go out, and he spoke to me. And he said, come next to me. He sat next to him. The Rebbe put his arm around him. And his Zugman, this guy speaks very good Yiddish. And the Rebbe spoke to him Yiddish. He said, Zugman Yankele, tell me what you like to do. What do you like? I see you don't like learning. It's okay. What do you like? He says, Bamis Rabbi? Because this guy's he's a very, very geschmacka guy. He says, the truth, Rabbi says, I like some movies. I like going to the movies. That's what I like. I like to go to movies. I don't like him. I like to go to movies. So the Rabbi said, fine. I understand that. The Rabbi said, yeah, this is good. I understand you go to the movies. If you say that to a Rosh Hashiva now, you're already finished. He said, I like to go to the movies. So I said, so what happened? So Klausenberger says, what else do you like? So he says, I like to play chess. So the Rebbe says, I also like to play chess. So the Rebbe said, I'll tell you what, we'll play a game of chess. He says, if the Rebbe said, if I win, then you and I are going to have a chavrusa every week for 45 minutes in the bar. If you win, you're going to show me a movie. I'll go to a movie. He said, this is what the Rebbe said to him. This guy told me, he said, this is what the Rebbe told me. And and my father was waiting outside someplace, and they and he called in a guy. He says, "Go find the chess game." And he said, "The Rebbe killed me. He smeared me, mom." And he said, "We had a chavrusa for 3 years. He had with a Klausenberger Rebbe chavrusa." And he says, "I never tasted such masikas in the Gemara my whole life." He says, "I've already been through the daf many times. The masikas of a black Gemara is the sweetest thing in my life as a black Gemara." It's a good maisa. I heard it from the Baal Maisa. Who talks like that nowadays? And the Rebbe didn't speak. He didn't speak a word of English. The Rebbe just spoke a few sentences. The Klausenberg, not a word. So how did he... The Klausenberger saw with his eyes schrotz, you understand? He lived through such a darkness. He saw the world, he understood, he was experienced. And Mimela, he's able to understand what's a bachur in America going for. Rav Shagif Avramadlovich used to give guys tickets to go to the Brooklyn Dodgers, to go watch a ball game. That wasn't so until you used to go to the ball game. Where do you have such a thing now? You would hear such a thing in Eretz Yisrael Rosh Hashiva, an American Rosh Hashiva. They should all be healthy and well again. So how is that? You're going to tell me that these Rosh Hashiva are higher than Rabbi Moshe Feinstein? No. They're wonderful people, but Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, no. They're higher than Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky? No. They're not. Shaul was a Bichir Hashem, right? Shaul HaMelech was a Bichir Hashem, ain't by Daifi, without sin. Ben Shona Shaul B'Malkai, like Tom Tam Chay. But that's why they were not, that's why Shaul was not able to have a Malchus that would have a Hemshah. That's why his Malchus didn't succeed, because he didn't understand. Like the Rebbe Meilach says, to understand Nefesh HaChayit is the soul of a Jew who's struggling in Ur Kasdan. Couldn't understand what's it like in Ur Kasdan. He grew up in Bnei Brak, or he grew up in Lakewood, or he grew up in the yeshiva here, wherever that is. Couldn't understand. Those chevra singing his mirrors, those chassidim, because they're still chassidim, but they're tzibrochen chassidim. And if somebody would, instead of throwing them out, instead of them making them feel like dirt, and telling them that they're a bunch of shrotzim, if there would be in the world now a Klausenberger that would put his arm around them, they'd all come back. It wouldn't take 3 years to bring them back. Why are they singing his mirrors? They're not making fun of his mirrors, because they miss it. Because they know that their lives are empty. They're having a good time. They're living it up. They're running away. But the tanuk that they have of Shabbos is bigger than the guy that came back from shul that Shabbos when they're singing his mirrors. They're not making fun of his mirrors. They're not making chayzik of Yiddishkeit. What they're saying is, we can't live without it. We don't know how to live with it. We're not sure how to work this out. But they can't live without it. The mamash can't live without Yiddishkeit. You know, I've spoken to chevra like this. I had a guy that the Sklana Rebbe sent to me, this is like 20 years ago. This guy was living with a Spanish girl, Hashem Yirachem, comes from a very, very well-known Chassidish family from Monroe. Boy, this guy was Isaac, and I can't even describe this guy. He spoke with such a heavy accent, his English. When he was telling me that various was doing, he was saying to me, "Yeah, Baruch Hashem." I was very much lechem. "Yeah, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem." So again, is he making fun? He's not making fun, is it? "Yeah, Baruch Hashem." And he says to me, "Echvais, you think I don't know Rebbe? It's all shtusim and havula. It's all shtusim and havula. I know that what I'm doing is all shtusim and havula." You can't live without the Baruch Shalom. This person now is Baruch Hashem. He's a modern, but he's a Shomer Mitzvah. Shomer Mitzvah. His father was all angry at me. Came to see me in Farakwa to yell at me because I told his son that he doesn't have to wear a strong over the chazan. So the father was angry at me. I said to the father, he has a Spanish girlfriend. He had a Spanish girlfriend. They were living in an apartment in the Bronx. You're talking to me about a Strymel? He said, "That's how we wear shtreimels." You told him that don't not to worry when he gets married. He doesn't have to wear shtreimels. Okay, if he just wears a kapel. He said, "That's what I told him." He said, "You shouldn't have told him that. We wear shtreimels." See, you understand where this guy's coming from? This guy's the father. I thought the father was coming to thank me that I tried to help his son. He came to yell at me. This father came with his wife. The wife wasn't on the same page. She was looking like this. She was upset. I saw the wife. He's yelling at me, and she was telling him, no. And he's yelling at me, "You're telling us what to do, and this is not how we do it. And we wear shtreimels." And I said, "So now we understand. We have not, okay, another few minutes. Now we understand why it's so unbelievable that this opinion of Ben Sholeh Shodom Hikar Ramaz Boyer is Reish Lakish." I'm sure some of you are thinking about that. As Reish Lakish himself is a Baal Teshuva. And Reish Lakish himself understood very, very well what it means. Ur Kasdim and the clubs and the movies. He understood what it meant to girlfriend. He understood what it meant Arki Dekach. The Gemara there in Bav Metzia, the whole Gemara there on Pedal with Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and how Reish Lakish came to the Mishpacha and jumping over the water because the girl. That Rabbi Yochanan said about Reish Lakish, listor belistayusa. There are certain halachas that Reish Lakish understood better. It's talking about an Indian taharis that Reish Lakish understood because he knew listius. He knew the malach of stealing. If you look down the Gemara, you see, there's no time to go into it. That he was a baki in theft. He was a baki in ganavus because he used to be in his earlier life. He was a ganav. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "You take have a mavinus in the city because listor belistayusa." You know this. How this works. He was talking about something that's nageh to taharis because of the physical nature of a certain thing. You looked in the Gemara, you see what it is. And you all remember that after Reish Lakish died, Rabbi Yochanan was miserable. Heicha ad bar Lakisha. Oi, where are you, Ben Lakish? Where are you? Hecha bar Lakisha, Hecha bar Lakisha. And he was miserable because he said that when Reish Lakish was my chavrusa, he would ask me 24 kashas on anything that I said. He would slug me up to all these different kashas. And finally, through all of the arguing back and forth, Rav Cheshmaitza, we would come to understand the truth. And the Gemara there tells us how they tried. The Gemara there says how Rabbi Lozer and Pedas wanted to be Menachem, to give Nechama to Rabbi Yochanan after Reish Lakish died. So he sent somebody who would be a Tanya the Messiah to bring Rayas for his learning. To bring Rayas, to support Rabbi Yochanan's learning. Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't need Tanya, I don't want Tanya the Messiah. I don't want to meet, like, as a Lakim is Halach Noyach. I don't want that. I miss Reish Lakish. You know why? Because he was a meshoitek bedaita. He was a sailing, searching person. And he used to slug me up. He didn't just say, "Yes, Rabbi, yes, Rabbi, yes, Rabbi. You know the truth. That's it, Rabbi, yes, Rabbi." He wasn't a yes man. He understood to look. Because his whole life was one of looking. Because he wasn't raised like, he was a ganav, he was a ganav. He was raised in the world of Rokazdim, so to speak. And because of that, his whole life is filled with kashis, like Avraham Avinu. Like the Rambam says, Tameya Bedaita, that he was asking kashas. So Reish Lakish knew how to ask good kashas. But he wanted the truth. That was the way that he was. He was looking for the truth. Because Reish Lakish, like Avraham Avinu, was able to use his past as a means of bringing him towards his future. Therefore, Mitchilosev Atsoife is a tzaddik. Ekev Shoma Avram Bekerli, all of the years of Reish Lakish's life, even while he was still a ganav, is all mitzarif to create this mitzias of who Reish Lakish was. Who Reish Lakish was. A tzaddik, a manhig, a leader, a mashpia, who understood human nature, who understood listius, what it means. So now we can understand. The Zohar Kodesh says, Ramchal, the Arizal, all the tzaddikim talk about this. how the beginning of the tikkun of the Eitz Hadas was with Avraham Avinu. If you look in the Degel Machane Ephraim, at the beginning of the year, he talks about this too. The tikkun Hishanu Tachas Eitz, the Degel talks about Avraham Avinu and the tikkun of the Eitz Hadas. And you all know, the Maral talks about this in Gerarya and Bereishis, that the sherish of all ra in this world, of all that is wrong, that needs a tikkun, is that ein tam ha'etz ketam ha'pri, was the chet, was the sin of the earth, which is the Maral says, and the Rav Kook talks about in the Ursa Tshuva, is the sin of all, the sherish of all sin in this world comes from the chet ha'adama. What was the sin of the adama, of the earth? That the earth produced trees that didn't have the taste of the fruit, right? It was supposed to be tam ha'etz ketam ha'pri, and the earth disobeyed. And the Maral explains in Gurai, this is where Rav Kook is talking about Ursa Tshuva, that the earth wanted just the fruit. The fruit is perfection. The fruit wanted perfection. That's the pre. The earth. Well, that's what the world wants, perfection. There should be tam eis ketama pri. That was kivyochol, what Hashem said, should be tam eis ketama pri. But the earth disobeyed. And the taste of the tree is not the same as the taste of the fruit. And that means that the Maral explains that there's the emtsoi and there's the tachlis. There's the means of getting to something, the time until you get there, and there's getting there. There's the not knowing, there's the difficulties, there's the struggles to get someplace. That's called the tree. And there's having it, getting there. That's called the fruit. There's the time of raising kids, which is very, very hard. That tastes like the bark of a tree. The time ha'etz is bitter. And when the child turns out to be wonderful, and under the chuppah, it's beautiful, that's the pre. So the world wants that it should be, everything should be time ha'etz ketam ha'pri. Everything should be perfect. Everything should be gevaldik. Should be mitchilos of hatzayfa. Everything should be good, like Shaul HaMelech. Ein boi doifi. Time ha'etz ketam ha'pri. The chet ha'adama, the impatience, is the sherish of chet, which means that man can't bear living through the emtsa'im to get to the tachlis. That the difficulty of holding on during the time of the eitz and wanting just to get to the pri, of making that nituk, that separation between the tama eitz and the tama pri, of not understanding that you have to go through Tam Ha'etz to get to the Tam Ha'pri, is the sherish of all that's going wrong in the world. That's what the Maral explains, which is the idea of the Chikas Ha'keitz, the impatience. I want it to be good now. I don't want to have all the years that Avraham Avinu had to have of wandering and of searching. I don't want to have the years of Reish Lakish. I don't want that my kids should have any difficulties growing up. So we're going to live in a neighborhood where they're not going to ever see somebody that's not Shomer Shabbos. You know, I don't want my kids to be exposed to that. I want that my kids should be like Noach, tzadik tamim, mitchilos v'ad seifa. I want that it should be tam ha'pri. There shouldn't be any tam ha'etz. What the Baruch Shalom is saying is that a person should understand that the tam ha'etz, to really feel while he's going through the difficulties, that it's going to be eventually tam ha'pri. The tam ha'etz is ketam ha'pri, but you have to work hard and go through all of those years to get through the years of the Eitzim, of the tree, to finally come to the Madrega, and you understand that the Tam Ha'etz, the Emtsoi, all of the years of searching, of struggling, of fighting, of good and bad days, of successes and failures, the Tam Ha'etz is Ketam Ha'pri. And the Be'emes, there's no Tam Ha'pri without the Tam Ha'etz. And the Emes is that the Emtsoi and the Tachlis is all one thing. Because there's a tzir between the years that Avraham Avinu was struggling and the time that he finally was 40, 48, and he came to the Tam Ha'pri. But everybody would like to be able to skip that. So Reish Lakish ben Sholosh Hikar Avim as Barei Rabbi Yochanan ben Abarim. The machlokes is not a machlokes; it's the tam ha'etz is ketam ha'pri. Reish Lakish is only saying that if you think deeply, if you look at Avraham Avinu deeply, you'll see that even when he was living in Or Kasdim, he was hanging out in Or Kasdim with the Avodah Zarah and all the wrong places. It was already there. He was meshaitet b'daitai. It was a time of eitz of the tree, and it was a bitter time, but he didn't let go. And he believed that this is an emtsoi, this is all somehow part of my journey, part of my mahalach, my search, the process of getting to that place where ultimately I'll get to the pri. And therefore he's able to taste, even during the difficult times of Tam HaEitz, he's able to taste the Tam HaPri, to bring together the Emtsoi and the Tachlis. So now we can understand that when the Zohar says that Avraham Avinu was the Tikkun of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, since the Inyan of the Chet HaAdam, the Inyan of the Eitz Hadas of Tov V'Ra, is the separation between the Emtsoi and the Tachlis, between the Tam of the Eitz and the Tam of the Pri. So Avraham Avinu, since Avraham Avinu was that Avoider of the Tam HaEitz being Ketam HaPri, meaning that we see that by Avraham Avinu, that the years that he was searching, that he was trying to get someplace, was considered to be, was equal to, in the eyes of Chazal, it was equal to Shoma Avram Bekoili, that Avram Avinu was listening to the voice of Hashem, that all of the years, even the years of the Eitzim, are counted as years of Peiros. Even the Emetzoi, even the struggle to get someplace, is part of the development of the Pri. Just like the Eitz is the development of the Pri. That's the Tikkun of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Because the Chet of the Eitz Hadas was taking the Pri away from the tree. It was a separation between the Tachlis, between the ultimate goal, and between the struggling that's necessary to get to the goal, which is the tree. Adam and Chava took from the tree, took from the fruit. They didn't want the tree. They didn't want to have the tree. They just wanted fruit. Nobody wants to have to struggle. Everybody just wants to have the final result. So then we can understand that that's the tikkun of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That's the inyan of Sukkos, which is Shuv Me'ahava, which is the Chag HaOsif. And the oimik of the Chag HaOsif, that it's the gathering in, it means that everything is gathered in. All of the years of my life, even the years that were in Ur Kasdim, are all part of the ingathering of my life. Where everything is gathered together, that's the site of Tshuv Me'ahav. When a person does Tshuv Me'ahav, the Gemara says that even the Zedanias, Nasan, Lekazochias, that even all of the Averis, the ugliness of my past, are all counted now as mitzvahs. In other words, everything is mitzvarif. The 3 years are mitzvarif, the 40 years, everything is mitzvarif. It's Ekev, all the 172 years are mitzvarif. Because that's the Tam Ha'eske Tam HaPri, that's the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Tshuv Me'ahav fixes the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra. Therefore, Tshuv Me'ahav is Sukkos, which is the Chag HaOsif. So now we can understand and finish with the Maamar Chazal in Parashas Emor, in the Medrash of Parashas Emor, where it says, Pri Eitz Hadar, when it's talking about the Araminim, it says, Pri Eitz Hadar Ze Avram. That Avram Avinu was compared to the Esri. Ze Avram Shahadroi, Shahadroi, Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Seva Tovim. That Hashem is Baruch Hu Mahadir, beautified Avram Avinu like an Esri with old age. Nemav Avram Zokin Babi Yomim. Uksiv Hadar Tibnei Zokin. So the Esrog is a Pri Eitz Hadar. And Avram Avinu was an old man. Avram Zokin Babi Yomim, and it says V'Hadar Tibnei Zokin. Why is there V'Hadar Tibnei Zokin? Because the day in the Gemara is that even a Zokin is a Goy. Why V'Hadar Tibnei Zokin? Because of the experiences that a person lived through in this world. That an old man, even if he's not a tzaddik, he went through this world. V'Hadar Tibnei Zokin means a Zokin is the Chag HaOsif, is the Asif of all of the years of one's life. The good days, the bad days, the ups, the downs. Avraham Avinu is compared to an Esrog, because an Esrog is the only thing that exists, which is Tam HaEitz Ketam HaPri. Which is the Tikkun of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, is with the Esrog. Adat Ibn Ezokin, Pri Eitz Hadar, Zeh Avraham, Shahadol Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bezikna. Bezikna. Pri Eitz Hadar is Zikna. Vad Zikna Nihu. So all the Aliyas Nihiridis are Mitztarif. Vavim Zokin, Bobi Yom. Bobi Yom, what makes the Esrog, Sam Sefer Sefer, what makes the Esrog the most beautiful, we know, is the bumps on the Esrog. It's not smooth. And we see that even halacha, the tzaddikim were knowing like this, that they would give the esrog, and 1,000 Jews were benching esrog, the tzaddik's esrog. By the time it came back to the tzaddik, after an hour or two of all the Jews using it, it was ready with spots and brown. And the tzaddikim davka had the greatest love for the esrog that was darkened by the touch of a Jew. You understand? It's a gewaldige esrog. It's an alte esrog. It's an old esrog. It's an esrog that's experienced. It has bumps. Everybody would like to have an esrog without bumps. And little children, when they look at an esrog you bring home and it's bumpy, the kid says, "Oh, daddy, the other person's esrog is so much nicer. Look how smooth it is." So he says, "What are you talking about? That guy got an esrog for $25. It's barely kosher. My esrog is $250. But daddy, your esrog is covered with bumps. Ah, gosh. It's got a kupa shel shrotzim, yeah? My esrog was nur kazdim. Givaldig esrog." I'll just tell you one story from the Bumpy Rebbe that I mentioned before that I told in the past. I'm sorry, I went over the time. I'm going to run to Yerushalayim, so you shouldn't be upset with me. But I'll tell you a mice that I heard. I tell this to the guys a lot of times when we're talking, that From the Babavar, there are two stories that are connected. They're both very short. From that, Rav Shlomo Babavar. You should read Nor the Moon by Night. It's a Gevaldige book. That when the Baba Rebbe was Nifter, so there was a huge Arlam that was there. I was there. There was a huge Arlam that was there. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, a huge Arlam. And there was a guy, a black guy. I think they call him, his name was Jimmy. And this black guy's pushing to get near to the Aron, you understand? And he's crying, this black guy's crying. And all the Chassidim know Jimmy because he was like the local painter. He used to paint their houses. He was a very sweet guy. And they used to take him to paint their houses, all the Chassidim. And he's sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And somebody asked him, Jimmy, you know that you love the Rebbe, but what do you, like, you know, you seem to be more tzebrochen than us. So Jimmy said, what do you mean? The Rebbe changed my life. Why? He says, I got my first break. The Rebbe hired me to be a painter. And I got a break. You know, it's a big thing because the Rebbe hired me. Then I thought that afterwards the Hasidim were going to take me, which is what happened. So the Rebbe, I got this break that the Rebbe hired me to paint this house. I was a young guy, years and years ago, when the Rebbe first came to Borough Park, whatever it is. And I was hired to paint the Rebbe's house. And I have to tell you, the Rebbe and the daughters, they were mamish, brutal. Like, they came after me for every spot that wasn't, like, you know. And to, Jimmy had to fix this. Jimmy had to. It was very hard with them. You know, Jews could be very, like. You know. So, I was just starting. I was so scared to be in the Rebbe's house, you know, like to do this job. So they were always after me. The Rebbe's and the daughters. No, Jimmy, come back. You didn't have to do this. So one day, after a few days of like being, you know, tortured by the Rebbe's and the girls, one day the Rebbe's sitting by himself, learning at the table. And he calls me over, he says, Jimmy, come. And I went over to the Rebbe, and he says, the Rebbe sat me next to him. This black guy said, the Rebbe sat me next to him. And he put his hand on me. And he said, I want to tell you something, Jimmy. He said, I like how you paint very much. And don't worry about what my wife and the girls are saying. Because there's no such thing as perfection. The Rebbe said this to me. The Rebbe said, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Only God is perfect. You just do the best you can. Don't worry about what they tell you. You're fine. I love what you're doing. So that's what the Rebbe told me. Changed my life. Because ever since I was in the world, I was told that I'm disgusting, I'm bad, I'm no good. And the Rebbe said to me, you're great. You're Jimmy, you're great. I'm going to make sure everybody's going to use you to paint. That's how I got with all the Chassidim to paint. Because of the Rebbe. And that same Rebbe, there's a Maisa with an Esrik. If you know the Maisa, the Baba Rebbe, the Esrik, there's a Maisa. Somebody brought the Rebbe a gift, the most beautiful Esrik that everybody ever saw. It was the craziest, most beautiful Esrik. I was going crazy. And of course, they were all expecting the Rebbe to bring that to Yontif to Ben Shasrik and then to give it to the Chassid. He didn't. He came with his own Esrik. He didn't come with that Esrik. So they were all, halacha, maybe he was, whatever. You know, he was worried. And so nobody said anything to the Rebbe. The Rebbe used his Esrik, and that Esrik he left in the box at home that he got for a gift. There was a bocher that was in the Rebbe's house. There was one of the bochers that was taking care of things in the house. Nobody was there. And he decided he wanted to take a look at the Rebbe's Esrik. He had a chance. He was sitting there and he wanted to look at the Esrik, at the gift, that beautiful Esrik. He took it out from the box. You already know what happened, right? So he got so nervous and scared when he was unwrapping it. He dropped it and hit him. He broke off the pit. He didn't know what to do. He just stuffed it in those years. You remember when he used to use the flax, right? So he just and he pushed it back into the box, and he didn't know what's he going to do. He didn't know how. What's he going to do? He passed up the Baba Rebbe's Esrik. So it's okay. Everybody's davening. Everybody's davening. Finally, Rebbe comes back, and the Bach is walking around the house. They're all busy, like he's trying to look busy doing stuff. And the Rebbe comes over. He knew it was going to happen. Rebbe comes over to look at the Esrik, and the Rebbe looks and he sees something. There's something. It's funny here. And he opens it up, and he sees that the pitim is off. And the bacher, to his credit, the bacher is standing on the side, and he's like starting to cry. And the Rebbe says, "What is it? Come over here. Come." I said, "What happened?" He says, "Rebbe, I'm sorry. I was the one that passed the esrog. It's my fault. When the Rebbe was davening, I couldn't help myself. It was such a beautiful esrog. I just wanted to look at it, and I dropped it." So the Rebbe said to him, he showed him that the esrog had a pin in it. The Rebbe didn't know that. It had a, when the pitum came off, when it fell, there was a pin. It was a phony esrog. Somebody took a beautiful giddle of an esrog where the pitum was broken, and he took a pin and he put it into the pitum. You understand, to hold it together, to make it look like it's a kosher, not just a kosher, but a mehudadik esrog. So the Rebbe said, that's a pasul esrog. You didn't pasul, that's a pasul. So the Baruch of course started to say, right away, well, the Rebbe's Ruach HaKodesh, is Ruach HaKodesh. Because he knew the Rebbe didn't want to bench esrog. How come the Rebbe didn't bench esrog with that, right? So the Rebbe said, it's not Ruach HaKodesh. I looked at the esrog, and it looked perfect to me. I never saw in my life perfection like this esrog. And I said to myself, this cannot be done. It cannot be. Something is wrong with this because nothing is perfect. Only the Bari Olam. That's why I didn't want to bench with it. I was too nervous to bench with this. Something is absolutely wrong. So he said to the Baruch, Shkoyach, Shkoyach. It was already possible. Mitchilosai, Ba'ad Saifa. A tzaddik mitchilosai, Ba'ad Saifa is with the bumps, you understand? The emes. That's what it means. With the beautiful bumps of a Jew who has his yiridus and he pulls himself out, aliyahs, nachamo, again and again and again, to become a pre-eitz hoda. As our Rama Vinu, not Noach. Noach is not called a pre-eitz hoda, he's a big tzaddik. Michlos v'ad sofer. But Hashem is Baruch's esrig, is our Rama Vinu. Not Shol, Davon HaMelech. That's the Baruch Shalom benches esrig. When the Baruch Shalom benches esrig, he benches esrig with our Rama Vinu, Davon HaMelech. At the end of time, who's going to bench? Who's going to bench Birchas HaMazon? David HaMelech. David HaMelech. With the Kupa Shel Shrotz, he's going to be leading the bench by the Yushpiz. We should be zoicha to be all together in Yushlein. From the Kalb, David Malkim, Mashiach, the Gula Shavamitis, Mehmi Amen, Amen.